That's PCNH.church. Get your tickets today for $30. See you that night.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. Oh God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live: to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
And good morning. We are so glad you've joined us today. This is Wednesday Live, WCNO, Palm City, Florida, 89.9. Keep your dial set right there. And we are blessed this morning to come right on air at the beginning with John Nelson with us. John, how are you this morning?
Better than I deserve, my brother.
Better than you deserve. Well, that must be because you know Jesus.
Absolutely.
That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Well, we want to welcome you to our on live Wednesday Live program today. I know there are some exciting things coming up with Family Recover. FamiliesRecover.org. Tell us what is coming up. I know in June you have a special event.
Well, we're finally past this mask mandate and COVID thing, and I think pretty much behind us. And we're excited. It's our first event in 2 years. You know, we weren't able to do anything with the Miami Heat or the golf tournaments, which are income draw. And June 17th at noon at Trident Golf Club over there in Club Med, we are going to put on our 8th golf tournament.
The 8th? Well, praise God.
Yeah. We're getting to be veterans at this stuff.
Mm. Well, this is excellent, and I know that that you probably still have some spots for people to be a part of this as far as golfers, but you also have sponsors and such forth. Tell us how all that's coming together. I know that this sort of got put on hold for a while because of COVID, but it looks like God has just added favor, favor, favor.
We love it. We've got some spots open for local sponsorships. We lost our big sponsors. Due to everyone kind of moved over to the COVID world as far as where they were putting their donation money, but we're excited because we were at PGA National in Palm Beach for many years, and I decided let's move it up here, and a great friend of mine, Bob, took over Club Med's golf course, and they've redone it, and Trident Golf is alive and well, and it's good because half of our sponsors have always been from the area that I've lived in for over 20 years and raised a great family. So, yeah, we've got about eight spots left. We signed on some more sponsors yesterday. It's exciting. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's good work.
So I see there's three different levels of sponsorship, and why don't we just talk about those? Somebody may be listening today, an individual or business owner or...
The sponsor levels are there. I've been looking at golf tournaments around the country because we have a million dollar hole. We have a putt for $5,000. there's some stuff where people can, you know, we try to give back to the sponsors, but, you know, the lower levels get four golfers, the second level gets four, but the big level gets eight golfers. I'm always willing to budge. Those numbers aren't always written in stone. The more sponsors that we get, the better that we fill it up with, trying to put some money in the cash register.
Sure.
But we got AmTrust Bank took over the lead. They're going to be our big donation. They're
fantastic.
Little chunk of they're owned by a bank called New York Community Banks, Family Banks up in Manhattan, 125 years old. They own a lot of small banks around the country. And AmTrust, which has, I don't know how many down south, but where I do my banking, there's only one here on the Treasure Coast. So the Miami Heat, the way God works, you know, we can't take kids down to the stadium that are meeting the players, and that stuff's all been pushed. So they've decided that let's promote their local bank, and we're going to take on this golf event.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Now, John, some are listening today, and they are not familiar yet with Families Recover. Tell us about the mission of the work and where the funds go, what's been taking place with this ministry.
You know, FamiliesRecover.org started out 10 years ago as Families Against Drunk Driving. We are registered with the IRS as a 501c3. We are a Florida nonprofit. Our funds over the years have gone to help people that are getting their kids back or someone needed to pay the rent. You know, they have to go through a vetting process. We just don't hand the money out.
Sure.
I'm a recovering drug addict, alcoholic, and you just don't go handing money to people that say they're sober
right,
what they need it for. You know, clothes, Christmas gifts. You know, one lady is a star. She came out of the trafficking world, the sex trade, 3 years ago. We actually helped her get a car. You know,
excellent.
She got her daughter back. And that's our mission. Our mission is to put the family back together. As of, you know, my girl died 4 years ago, April 1st, from this disease. And it kind of changed my viewpoint of what was going on at street level and what are we really lacking. And I'll tell you what we're aiming for now through Washington, Ben Graham, who is Billy Graham's great nephew, Mitch McConnell, SAMHSA is a huge organization that provides pamphlets, everything family-oriented. If you go on their website at samhsa.org, you can actually print 99% of the stuff that they publish, which is school-level, accepted, anything from addiction to bullying. They don't cover just addiction. But we're trying to put together a program that goes into the schools at a level where it's accepted by the Board of Education, you know, around the country, to be able to present to the kids, the moms and dads, and the teachers in an assembly setting, you know, what's going to happen when my kid goes from elementary school to junior high. And I don't know if there's a lot of parents listening. You're now exposed to older kids that are exposing them kids to spirits, whether it comes in a white form or comes in a bottle, you know, and the things to look for there, you know, and how to spot if your kid's in trouble. And then we're trying to take that same thing and move it to a junior high level. There's companies that do this, but they charge like $17,000 a school district.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get it to where this can be done by different people around the country and actually presented for free. And we're getting a lot of rehab centers around the country on board with this as far as their service back to the community. So you're sitting in an assembly with an eighth grader who really doesn't want to hear what this guy's saying up there. And but you got a parent or a teacher that's going to be schooled on the warning signs of addiction. And I don't know if anyone's really watching what's going on in our schools. I know when I was a kid, Michelob and marijuana. But you would be very shocked to sit down with an administrator that's what's in South Fork High School, St. Lucie High School, Jensen Beach, all of the high schools around the country. There's stuff out there now that is it's robbing a whole generation. You know, we're still losing 3,000 people, and I'm not going to say kids because it's not just kids, to overdose from opiates a day.
3,000.
3,000. Not even talked about. 3,000 a day.
Wow.
That is a statistic that has not slowed down, even with medicated treatment programs. You know, that everyone thinks that methadone, Suboxone, or Subutex is the answer. It's not. It's not. You're just taking one substance, which is a pharmaceutical, and replacing it with another pharmaceutical. So we want to educate the parents and the teachers and tell them, listen, you spot someone, I wish, and I'll share a quick story. I was in 10th grade for the second time because I left the first time. I was in the Italian food industry in Detroit, thought I knew everything, making money, hanging around the wrong people, blah, blah, blah. I had a teacher in fifth hour because we would skip fourth hour. We would go down to Detroit, get some Michelob, light up a joint, go back to fifth hour, and this teacher took me out of the hallway. And I hope there's a teacher listening. And this guy looked me right in the face, and he goes, John, why do you come to my class so soon? Now, back then, things were maybe not looked upon as alcohol being the devil that it is. If that guy would have taken me to the office, and I'm not saying that it might have been a turning point, but I would have been shown that there's a consequence for addiction at a very young age. And that's the thing. You want to stop this, you got to start educating people to get into, you know, your kids. There's got to be consequences for their actions. And it starts at home. And it starts in school. And I'm not saying that there's bad parents. Since we've been an impact partner, and our phone number goes out there, which is my personal cell phone, we get calls. It's always a parent. And this is one of two things that I get when I get those phone calls. My son or daughter or my wife or husband are dead. And I don't know what to do.
Wow.
And then you got the flip side to those phone calls where you get phone calls that are, my son or daughter or blah, blah, blah are missing, which I was at a meeting this morning, and his nephew's missing for 5 days. They think he's dead.
Mm.
What do I do with my adolescent 28-year-old who's living in my bedroom, eating my food, won't go to work, and he won't go to rehab? That's the second phone call. And this is the roadblock. Most parents think they've done something wrong. They take on the fact that, and we're really good victimizers. You know, anyone that's in the addicted world, we know how to manipulate. Mm. You know, we're the number one of manipulators. So mom takes on the role of, man, I must have done something wrong. So they put up with it. Until one lady called me last year, her entire savings and her entire retirement and her house now in foreclosure is gone because she went that far with one of her.
Wow. Mm.
That's not the answer. The answer is tough love. The answer is getting educated. But this is the roadblock there. You know, we work with sheriffs. And Rick Bradshaw, a good friend, and he said this at a golf tournament because he gets up and usually speaks. If we could get the parents out of the way, we could save some lives. And that was 5 years ago, and that's so much true today. I mean, the last parent that I was dealing with 2 weeks ago, she literally, I can't do that to my kid. I said, how do we, that's like when you as a minister, someone comes up to you and says, I'm not going to take the bread, I'm not going to take the wine,
right,
and Jesus is hogwash. So
right.
What do? You just, you know, they're not listening. And that's okay. You know, it's just okay. I have a good friend of mine, worked for the Defense Department, sat with presidents and generals all over the world, and he's living on an 80-foot boat and can't stay sober. But, you know, there's an answer.
And there is an answer. Whole,
you know, Powell was killing Christians, right? Until he was struck down in the blindness and finally his eyes were opened. It's the same thing in addiction.
You know,
I was the same way even with the Bible. Until I sat down and was ready to believe that God had me. Nobody can pound that into somebody's head until their mind is open to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, our mission these days, we just want people to reach out through the night. You know, we're willing to get involved. You know, and it's not just us. There's a lot of different entities around the country when it comes to this stuff that the doors are open. But if you have a closed mind, you can't change a life.
I love the fact that you have a whole family and a whole kingdom perspective, and you're a networker. Once again, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. And John, give out that phone number for people that's listening today. They may be in need of reaching out. I know we have a lot of your spots that play here on WCNO because we understand what you're doing.
Yeah, we love it. 772-285-5828. You know, I want to shout out, I got a great friend who just got back down here from New York and he's moving here permanently with his mom to help her. And he owns Black Onyx Limo Service. It's they do a lot of airport transfers, cruise ship stuff. You know, he's small, but he's really an up-and-coming guy. He's going to be signing on with you guys in the next couple of weeks.
Good deal.
As an impact partner. And he's asking me, he goes, how much advertising? And I, you know, people don't realize the reach. And I didn't really until you and I talked on Monday. You know, to go from Orlando to Fort Myers to North Broward to the West Bank of the Bahamas as a lower-powered, not clear channel radio station, that's a huge, huge listening base.
Amen. God's given us a very big mouth, and we desire to lift up Jesus with all of the gusto we have. But you're right. You know, we have a lot of people that travel up and down the coast. They're in businesses. They from Orlando, some people from Jacksonville, you know, they make donations to the station, and they say, you know, we're able to tune in to 89.9 and catch it way up the coast and still be listening as we go through the Palm Beaches and on down south into the edge of Fort Lauderdale. And of course, we have had people from the islands tell us that they listen regularly, and we reach around Lake Okeechobee. So God really has given WCNO an opportunity to be an awesome partner with other businesses and ministries. And John, I really appreciate you emphasizing that, because that's probably one of the most difficult things for me to get across to someone that's like, okay, well, you know, I kind of like to get the word out, but how does this work, and will it work, and are there people listening, and how many are listening? And it's like, hey, we're reaching into 10 counties. These 10 counties represent 30% of the population of the state of Florida. We're looking at 7+ million people that are potentially within our reach. And so
dollar for dollar.
Absolutely.
You know, I was in the Italian food industry most of my life up until about 20 years ago. And, you know, you're advertising money. And we tried it even with our golf tournament. We've tried the really big stations. We've tried the, and it doesn't matter what stations. We didn't get any response. Now, I understand that until you blanket something, like we did a lot of hand flyers. In the old days, that's how pizza joints got a lot of their work. When I owned my joint in Detroit, the 13th and the 29th, we would have 10,000 flyers hand-delivered. Mm. That was very effective.
Sure.
You know, now with being Families Recovered, and we're 10 years old, and we do get some residual calls and people looking out and entities looking out, what can we do? We're getting ready to join the people that handle DCF as far as legal to come on board with what we've done with human trafficking, and maybe sit as a panel and advise on what to do with kids that have ran away from Hibiscus House or wherever, got involved in human trafficking, been rescued out of human trafficking, and now trying what can we do to counsel them back to normal life. You know, you never know what opportunity is going to be in your front door. I'm a big fan of Billy Graham. You know, a lot of people don't understand that when he first started out, he was an extremely poor dirt farmer. Mm. A lot of people don't understand that every week he went out and very little money and very little training, God touched him like Moses. And I love this because this is the thing that keeps me going, because there's a lot of days I'm thinking, I put so much effort into this and we just don't see nothing.
Right.
Now, I'm a selfish guy. You know, I'm a best in kitchens. I get to see the good result. So to finish that story off, Randolph Hearst was one of the biggest, and they still are, Hearst Argyle, one of the biggest media people in the country, billboards, radio stations, and newspapers. If you do your research way back when, not his daughter that was kidnapped and made to rob a bank, if you're that old, he was in the audience on a Friday. He was so touched by Billy Graham that he went back to his hotel and they sent out a telegraph to everything he owned, and the next day Billy Graham was on the front page. That's what we need in the church today.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we need in the church today. Yeah. We need a Billy Graham. And yeah. Anybody's capable of that. He was touched. I think most people could minister if they really tried. Do I really believe what's coming out of my mouth? If you I watch him sometimes early in the morning, his old reruns on Amazon has the whole everything, stadiums. And you look at this guy and you're like, that guy believes what he's saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And heaven's populated because of
it. You can't convince him of anything else. He traveled the whole world.
Yeah.
Even the Muslim nations were like, who is this guy?
Yeah. With integrity. Ministered with integrity. Yeah.
And they never, and I'll close it out with this, Barbara Walters and Dan Rather both interviewed him later on in life. And they said, you know, we've spent months researching you, looking for something that you've done deceitful. And he looked them right in the face. He didn't blink his eyes. And he said these words, why were you looking? and I'm an uneducated guy. I left school 8th grade. And I'm not saying the guy doesn't touch me with wit, because all of us are touched. But, you know, it's that type of attitude. Like, he believed what he believed.
Amen.
And we can all believe what we believe. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on that are pretty upsetting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if at the end of the day, and I was standing, I was pretty upset here, so I had some stuff go on. You know, I work with a lot of people, and it didn't go the way it should have. They didn't even call, blah, blah. You know, the generation today.
Yeah.
So I'm all upset. My son comes home. We help a neighbor for a minute, and he looked at me and goes, you're so upset. You're going to have a heart attack. So he leaves and goes to the gym, and I'm standing there cooking, because cooking really easy. You know, it's really peaceful. And this is what God said. Everything's okay.
Yeah, amen.
John, everything's amen. Okay.
Amen.
See, but I had to slow down enough to hear that.
Yep.
And people look at you like, you think you hear from God? Yes.
Absolutely.
We all can hear from God.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
You know, I didn't have no formal training. You know, we do these events and I get up in front of people and say, you know, I lost my wife and she was being human trafficked at the end of her life. It breaks my heart.
Sure.
So what are we going to do to help stop that?
There you go.
You know, am I stuck in the problem or in the solution?
There you go. There you go. John, we love you. Familiesrecover.org. Phone number 772-285-5828. June the 17th, 2022. That's a little ways out, but not too early to start making plans. You can still be a sponsor of this event. And, of course, you can plan to be a participant in this event. Trident Golf Club. And so, John, we love you. You'll be coming back soon. You're going to keep us posted, and we're going to walk, and then we'll run right up to this event, and God's going to make it most awesome for you.
Let me have 30 seconds.
Yep.
I want to thank Peter's Hardware, Rocket Cooling, Black Onyx Transportation, AmTrust Bank. There's some few private donors that don't want to be recognized, and like I said in the beginning, if you think you're too small and you can't afford that sponsorship, call me.
There you go.
If you want to be advertised on a golf course and on a radio, and Channel 5 is golfing the event, call me. 772-285-5828. We're here to help.
John, lead us in a prayer for families that are in recovery.
Father, we just thank you for everything you do. People are where they're at in life and think they're trapped, Father. We just know that you're the way out. They just open their ears and open their hearts, especially their hearts. We just thank you for the VA, the VSO, and the flag bearers that came out for my grandfather's 100th birthday
awesome
celebration
story.
And then came out and did the flag party for awesome his story. Memorial on Saturday. Amen. We're just living in a blessed community, and we just thank you for everything in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, John, we love you. Don't stay away too long.
Talk to you later, baby.
Blessings. Bye.
Bye.
So if you've seen the Gaithers on TBN, you've heard the incredible voice of David Phelps. Now you can personally experience David live for one night only at Palm City New Hope, Saturday, February the 26th at 7 p.m. Get your $30 tickets at pcnh.church. That's pcnh.church.
David Phelps indeed is coming to Palm City. David Phelps coming to Palm City. And if you are interested in being a part of that night, that's going to be a great night of ministry, a great concert night. Tickets are only $30. And we have some tickets right now, courtesy of New Hope Church, that we're going to make available. And so we currently have, we could give away two tickets, or we could give away four tickets if you have a party of four. And so we can take your call. Karen, give the numbers out right now.
Yes, that number is 888-221-8990. Again, that's 888-221-8990.
And we have six tickets total. And once these tickets are gone, these tickets are gone. So I know that you can go online and you can register. You can purchase tickets, pcnh.church/concerts. And I hear the phone ringing out there, so I believe some are calling in. But as soon as the tickets are gone, they're gone. We can give them away in groups of two. We could give away a four, or we could give a four and a six. You call us and tell us what your family needs, and we would love to get you to this concert. And these are going to be great tickets. And listen, tell your friends about this concert coming up with David Phelps and plan to be a part of it. I was so looking forward to being there myself. It's going to be on a Saturday evening. And Karen, then, lo and behold, the calendar brought to my realization that I have an awesome family wedding that I'm actually officiating at. So,
oh, no. you didn't know, or it just came about really quick?
You know what? We were in the planning stages and phases of it, and so we were still kind of locking down exactly who was going to do what with it. So that was finalized this past week. And so let's see. Tickets are disappearing. Two, three, four. I have two tickets. What did you take?
Four.
You took four, and I still have four?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought I only had two left. I still have four tickets left.
Yeah.
Four tickets. Karen, give the number out again. David Phelps concert coming up February the 26th, 2022, Palm City Church, right here in Palm City. It's going to be a great concert. Let's get the number out again.
That number is 888-221-8990. If you call and it just goes to voicemail, that's because Sherry's out there on the phones.
That's right.
Probably taking another caller's name and stuff, so just bear with us.
And the phone's ringing again, and there again, I have four tickets. These could go as two twos. It could go as a group of four. But please, if you get these tickets, make sure that you plan to attend the concert, because we want every seat filled at this concert. This is going to be a tremendous night of ministry. David Phelps, you'll hear his music, and you'll hear spots played over the next several days. And, of course, to our friends over there, Pastor Gary and Brother Rick and the entire team, we say thank you for letting WCNO be a part of promoting this great event that's coming up. And so, David, you know, every time John Nelson calls in, I'm always blessed in talking with him and his mission, his passion. Of course, having lost his wife, mm-hmm. and coming from that to become a rescuer, really. Yeah. He's a rescuer, and the whole name is there, Families Recover, and he was talking about that so many times we look at maybe an individual in the family and say, hey, they have a problem, but mm-hmm. most of the time, the whole family needs to recover together. And you know about this, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic, or I like to say I'm a delivered alcoholic, and that's what God did for me. So I resonate really powerfully with what John is doing, and he's doing the right thing in the right way, you know.
He is.
And it's just wonderful to know guys like John are out there.
Yep.
And we need to see more people out there doing that. Because, I mean, what did he say? In one day, we lose 3,000 people to opioids.
3,000 people a day. Yep.
And, man, you know, God wants to turn that around.
For sure. For sure. And through the church.
And through the church.
Through the church. So yeah. People will not only have
maybe a program to go to, but they will have a new life to begin.
Amen.
And an eternal life.
Amen.
Well, Karen's coming in. Good to see you back, Karen. Did you see Mom and Paul anywhere on the premises? We're gonna.
I did.
Okay. Well, let's get them right up to the get them on air here right away, because we have some guests we're gonna want to move into the studio in just a moment. Paul has been through a lot of demanding things in the last few weeks. From reconciling with his mother-in-law to expanding this season of reconciliation to everyone he's ever hurt, Paul has been burning the candle at both ends. Even with all the joy he has received, his physical strength has been depleted. We believe this explains what happened last week. While checking out the beans growing in his North 40, he stepped in a molehole and fell. He tried to break his fall with his left hand, but broke his hand instead. Because Paul is a man, he just ignored the pain until he finished his review of the bean crop. Then he hopped on his ATV, visited his goats, cows, and the chickens in the hen house. He went back to the barn where he parked the ATV, changed the oil and filter in his pickup truck, fed the horses, and then went into the house for lunch. Little difference there. Maul immediately noticed his swollen hand. He told her what happened, and she got him to the ER. X-ray showed a broken bone and his hand was immobilized with a cast. He was told he couldn't use the hand for the next 2 weeks until another X-ray could determine how well the bone was healing. Another aspect of manhood is the fierce determination to do everything yourself. But with one hand out of commission, he's had to rely on Maul for several things. Paul hasn't quite adjusted to this, and his frustration levels are taking him dangerously close to wrecking the environment of reconciliation he has so diligently prayed on and worked to refine. With 1 week to go before his next exam, Paul has decided to sit down with Maul and smooth over the rough spots in their relationship.
Hey, Ma, could you sit down here with me for a minute?
Yeah, sure can. I got a whole hour before lunch. What's on your mind?
Well, this broken hand business has got me teetering on the brink of dangerous frustration.
Dangerous? What do you mean by that?
Well, I've been enjoying the peace what God give me from all that reconciling I've been doing. And you know, you and me have had a wonderful time having deeper conversations in the Spirit. I'm in a good place with everybody. I don't want to lose that.
Well, I'm impressed, Pa. I admire your passion and your faith. The Lord done a good work in your heart.
Well, that he has. But if I don't get some grace to cool my jet, so to speak, I might find my anger rising up against those I love, and especially you, Ma. You remember old Claiborne Buffington?
Wasn't he that fella used to have a well drilling company?
That's him. I remember a couple of years ago, he was drilling a well for old Horatio Glip. Well, they'd gone down 200 feet and no water. Old Horatio was desperate to get some irrigation, so he was heavy on old Claiborne to produce. Claiborne got mad because he couldn't put water where it wasn't. Then Horatio claimed Claiborne was drilling in the wrong place. Then Claiborne showed Horatio he was right where the geology report said to drill.
Well, it sounds like they was at a stalemate.
Sure was. Till old Claiborne got so mad he stomped his foot on the ground, and the earth opened up and swallowed old Horatio.
You're kidding.
I am not. Turned out they were standing on top of a sinkhole. The drilling had fractured the ground, and old Claiborne's angry foot was all it needed to collapse.
Well, what about Horatio?
Well, he only fell about 8 feet. They hauled him out of the sinkhole. He weren't hurt at all, just angry and embarrassed. He's the one that made Claiborne shut down his well drilling business.
Well, how did he do that?
He started a rumor. Well, he started this rumor. If you made Claiborne mad, he'd send you straight to hell. Fact is, Claiborne had fought the rumors. He could have fought the rumors, but he was upset that his anger caused Horatio so much pain. So he just quit drilling wells. And that's kind of where I am, Ma. I don't want my frustration to cause anyone pain.
Well, you know, I can see your concern, but it might help you to go a little deeper into what's bothering you. If you can help me to understand your problem, you might get some more insight, too.
Yeah, you got a point there. Okay, it's like this. You know I'm a man.
I've been knowing that for quite a spell, Pa.
So, us men like to be doers and fixers. We're helpers, especially for our women folk, and we don't like to be on the receiving end of the helps, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do, for sure. But you got to know that everybody needs help now and then.
Of course, but it's hard to go from being the mighty man of the house to a wimpy, bent-up old geezer what needs his wife to wipe his nose for him.
Oh, Pa, it ain't like that at all.
Well, maybe not, but it sure feels like it. Look, God gave me two hands because he knew I'd need him. Everything I do gets both hands involved, but my left hand is in a cast and it just sits there. Listen, it's like this. I feed myself mostly with my left hand, but I can't hold silverware in it, so I got to use my right. And it ain't trained to deliver food to my mouth. Well, I still have grits in my right ear from breakfast.
Pa, I told you it'd take you some time to adapt to your new temporary limitations. And I don't notice you losing any weight because of it. Maybe I could help feed you.
Oh, no. That would make it worse. Remember I said I was a man? Look, Ma, I know you're pretty much up on all the womany things.
Pretty much.
But, and it ain't your fault, really, that you have a certain measure of natural ignorance.
Natural ignorance?
About what it means to be a man. So let me try to give you a simple picture.
Simple? Now look.
Now, just calm down. You'll get this better if you ain't so red in the face. Your brain needs as much blood as it can get, so you'll understand.
Pa, you are perched on the brink of crossing a serious line here.
Just hold that thought. So, here's what some folks call a meaty fork.
That's a metaphor.
All right. So, being a man is kind of like this. A man is a warrior, and he trudges through the battlefield of life with his family keeping behind him for protection. When he's attacked by the enemy, let's say a mortar falls right in front of him, and the blast knocks off some limbs, the man is supposed to pick up them limbs and keep going, crawling as best he can through the broken and bloody ground, all the while keeping his family safe.
Well, I can't say I ever heard such an explanation about man before.
And here I am with my left hand pretty much useless, and we got all these farm chores what need being done. And I'm still the one to do them.
Pa, there are some things I can do to help.
Like what? I got to put the cedar on a tractor to plant the South 40. It's going to take all my man muscle strength to raise the trailer and hook it on the tractor.
I ain't weak, Pa. Remember, I just moved that big old couch from the house out to the barn.
Of course, a couch. Wood, cloth, and stuffing. I'm talking about a 500-pound cold-rolled steel seed planter, gravity pulling on it so fierce that only a man, a determined man, with plenty of muscle sweat to burn, can elevate that piece of equipment enough to make the tractor connection. And my left hand, infirm as it is, will have to join my right hand to perform the task.
You know, I'm guessing you know the Oscars are coming up in March. Because that was the best performance I believe I've ever seen.
Performance? Ma, I just give you the raw and fresh mind scrapings direct from my man heart. I excavated my soul for you, so you might gain a smidge more understanding of what it means to be a man and why I'm in such a quandary right now, caught right in the middle of a cosmic struggle between fulfilling the divine call on my maleness while at the same time managing to allow my injury to heal.
Well, Pa, before you start to write your Academy Award acceptance speech, let me offer you a nice slice of what some of us like to call reality. While I know you've been suffering, I can assure you you're not anywhere near experiencing total physical, emotional, and spiritual collapse that you have attempted to predict is on the way.
Well, now...
And while I can actually comprehend a good bit of your graphic depiction of the heroic nature of manhood, and even have a sense of what it might feel like to drag your broken body over that rubble-strewn battlefield, the truth is, you have one cracked bone in your left hand, which ain't hurting much because that cast keeps it from moving.
But...
So, the only thing that's in utter agony and screaming up to God for his pity... is your ego. Pure and simple, Pa. Your ego.
Well,
while you're fumbling around for a clever and face-saving retort, let me just make it clear. I have never thought any less of you being a man when you've needed help. I always tried to be there for you. And if you remember, on more than one occasion, you've allowed me to assist you. So, whatever's going on now that suggests your manliness is being questioned, that your heroic exploits have not been appreciated, and that your need for help somehow decimates your male ego, it's nothing more than fiction of your mind, and you need to get over it, and I mean now.
Well, when you put it that way, I guess it's been a mite exaggeration on that point. I'm sorry, Ma.
Okay. Now that we're past that issue, you and me can talk about just what I might be able to do for you while you're healing. It would be nothing that would inhibit any efforts of yours to showcase your precious X and Y chromosomes. I'll remain a simple servant, hiding my efforts in the background.
Well, now I see that in my efforts to keep my disability from causing pain to others, I have in fact done the opposite. My determination to wrestle a measure of independence from the clutches of this awful injury has only caused a dagger in your heart. I am truly sorry, Ma.
Oh, Pa, you have all the forgiveness that you need from me. So now we can move forward into a better place where you just tell me how I can help you.
I really appreciate that. And to inaugurate this new beginning, I could use your help on something right now.
That's the spirit, Pa. What you need?
Well, could you get a Q-tip and excavate them grits from my ear?
Well, sometimes when something distressing happens to another, we can't fully appreciate what's going on in the depths of their being without undertaking a serious exploration of their need. This is most important with those very close to us, because without sounding trite, their pain is ours as well. We Christians, by the very nature of our spiritual relationship with Jesus, are oriented to meet our brothers and sisters in the depths of our hearts rather than just on the surface, where our love for others demands making a journey to the core of their suffering. It can sometimes be hazardous for the relationship, but the healing love of God, which we are called and anointed to mediate, demands nothing less. We are not to judge the sufferings of another. Rather, we are to bring Jesus and let him heal. Maul knows this. It seemed that she was hard on Paul, but the surgical love of Jesus excised the real issue, and his pain is now that of healing. Is there someone in your life that needs God's grace in this way? Pray, and he will show you.
She tossed her hair back like she didn't care.
There's very few vocalists with the anointing, power, and range of David Phelps. Over 20 years as a member of the Gaither Band, with numerous Dove Awards, Grammys, and platinum-selling albums.
She'd met about a love without regret.
Let David minister to you and give you a heavenly experience at Palm City New Hope, Saturday, February the 26th at 7 p.m. Get your $30 tickets at pcnh.church. That's pcnh.church.
You can just believe, you can dream.
And we are back, and so glad that you've joined us on Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we are on a roll this morning. Let me make sure I have all the mics on, because we have some guests that are just joining us now from Good Samaritan Ministries.
Yes.
Glenn, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Pull that mic right up there so we can
okay,
we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. That's
okay,
a whole lot better. And Let's make sure we have, and you have a guest with you today whose name is?
Yes, Karen is with us today from Good Samaritan, who's gone through the program there.
Excellent.
And she's going to give her testimony.
Excellent. Well, why don't we jump right into that? I know, Glenn, part of the reason of having you physically come in today is we're looking at doing a new program.
Yes.
This program is going to be called Caleb's
Canoe.
Caleb's Canoe. That stuck right in my head. I've always loved canoeing. And you are from Good Samaritan Ministries.
Yes.
Give us a thumbnail introduction of the ministries and what your program will be, and then we'll go right to our testimony.
Sure. Well, I was involved in ministry back in Baltimore. I was a teacher for 40 years in a public school system, but every other spare minute was in the ministry. And when I came down here, I got involved with a local church, and the local church had a ministry to go and visit the homeless in Fort Pierce.
Excellent.
And there was a ministry there, a rate on Taylor Creek, and a wonderful lady came in every morning for these homeless and gave them breakfast. Mm. And if it was cold, she gave them hot coffee, and if it was warm, she gave them juice. And one of the things that I learned about was it was a really good ministry, and she was doing a great job. But then after that, we then went into the woods, and we went into the hovels where people had tarps that lived under, and we were giving them out socks and clothes and food and deodorant and razor blades and all the rest. So that got me really interested. But then I sort of had a little bit of second thoughts on that, because it seemed to me like that ministry was more of a handout than a hand up.
Okay.
And then I was going to a series of, there were workshops and presentations, men's groups, and I heard Pastor Vito, who is the founder of Good Samaritan Ministry.
Powerful.
Powerful man. And when, again, after hearing from him several times, I said, you know, he's talking about something I really believe in, and that's giving people not just a handout, but a hand up.
There you go.
So the ministry there really attracted my attention, and while I was there, he said, why don't you come in and take a look at the ministry? So a wonderful woman named Sarah, who's like his girl Friday, she took me on a tour, and it was a fantastic tour. Pastor Vito started on a shoestring, and in 10 years he now has 190 people in this ministry. So I was really, really motivated by that. And he asked me if I would then speak to the men every Friday morning, which I did. And then later he asked me if I'd speak to the general population on Friday evenings, and I did that. And then he asked me to be on the board, and then he asked me to be on the fundraising committee, and then the graduation committee. So now I feel
like
I'm full time.
Yes. Here you are. Here at WCNO.
So I'm just telling you, it's you know, Pastor Vito is one of those rare people. I mean, in my ministry, I must have met 150 pastors and elders or whatever. But when I met him, I just felt something different. He's the type of man that never makes a decision without praying first.
Yeah, his heart will reach out and grab you.
Yes, he's got this big
heart.
The
love of God there.
And that's one of the key things, because recently we were looking around at other ministries to get ideas. And we went to Dunklin, and that's a wonderful ministry there. But it's very focused. It's focused on people who are sort of young adults that, and you know, that's it, men, young adults. And then I looked in one called New Life Ministries, and that was women with children. Great. Mm-hmm. Pastor Vito opens it up to everyone.
Everybody, he does.
Okay, that's his heart. And so we have people who are homeless. We have people who have drug addiction, alcohol addiction. We have people who have mental problems.
Yeah.
It's just a whole series of people, and he just opens the doors to everyone. So that creates problems. And so one of the things we have as a problem right now is that we're trying to buy the building we're in, because we're leasing it.
Control
another
the cost.
One is really one of the things that really drew me to it, and that was the ministries they have. One of which, in fact, when I found out about them, I said, can I go out with the men and see what they're doing? So I went out with Heavenly Cuts, and I saw these men cutting lawns. But before they even start, they gather together, hold arm in arm, and pray. And then people that they're servicing come out and pray with them.
That's awesome.
I met one wonderful Marine who used to guard presidents, and he was just really full of the Lord. And so they're reaching out to the community as well as working.
That's awesome.
And then after I met them, I went out with Trinity Trees, and Trinity Trees does a whole series of things, stump removal, tree removal. I met a guy named Clay, what a man of God. You listen to his testimony, you can't help but cry. Mm. And then there was country, same kind of person, just full of the Lord and full of testimony that was just knock your socks off. And then there was Joey. There was just, it was just a whole spread. And then I met Rich, and he's in charge of the FSH, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they do everything. Okay, you got drywall, you got painting, you name it, flooring, they do it all. And he is a guy that, he reminds me of myself in terms of energy. He's like the Energizer Bunny, you know. He just goes. In fact, he said he won an award for the most letters ever run in high school because he played every sport. Well, the other thing about it was his wife, okay, Shannon, she's involved in the ministry also. Yeah. And they are together, working together. And you see that with Clay and his wife, Tina. She runs the thrift shop that we have.
Glenn, this is an amazing ministry, and we're going to have you back where we're not so pinched for time.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to the program that will be called Caleb's Canoe.
Okay.
Caleb's Canoe, and it will be on Saturdays. Karen, we're looking at 11 o'clock?
Yes, 11 a.m. Saturday.
11 a.m., and we're going to be getting that up very quickly. And you have a guest with us. Introduce her, and let's get right into her story before we run out of time, because okay, we have about 8 minutes left.
Okay, Karen, in fact, I'll just give a quick story about Karen. I like to, when I give a message, I like to use props, and I also like to get people involved. And one of the things I had them do, I was talking about trust, and so I asked for a volunteer that would do a trust fall. They would be up on stage, standing on a chair, and falling into the arms of other people. Mm. Well, Karen was the only one that volunteered.
Karen, so, was that a bad decision?
No, actually, it was a very good decision.
Oh, good. So she's still alive. I can see her here, Glenn. Yeah. So
the Lord caught me.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
So I've introduced Karen. She's got a tremendous testimony. So, Karen, take over.
Tell us your story, Karen.
Okay, so my story,
or piece of your story.
I'm sure we'll get a glimpse of age, it. But my story probably starts at the age of 12 when I started using. I was born in Brooklyn, but I didn't come from a family of drug addicts or alcoholics. I came from a very comforting family, a loving family. But I always felt like I was missing something. That's, everybody else had something that I didn't have. And of course, that was envy. And I was curious about the Lord, and I was curious about Jesus Christ, but I never committed to anything. And as years went on, my drug addiction spiraled out of control. I got married. I was a functioning addict for a very long time, which is probably more dangerous than just spiraling until you hit bottom. So I managed to be a functioning addict for a long time. I had a son. His name is Jonathan.
Good name.
And things just got out of control. I went from one drug to another drug, combining drugs, and I was no longer functioning. So I decided to move to Florida to be closer to my family after my divorce from my first husband. And as time went on, I came to Florida not knowing that at that time it was like Opiate Central, and that I wasn't escaping because I was still me and I was still searching. And there was a void. And the only thing that I can tell you is it spiraled so badly out of control from 12 to, I think I was incarcerated at the age of 52. I ended up in jail.
Mm.
And the Lord spoke to me while I was there. And praise he God. Called me by my name. And he continued to call me. And I was looking at 6.5 years prison. And while I was in jail, my second husband died.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even able to mourn him, be with him. It was scary. And I cried. It was a very sad time. I was full of grief. And I remember laying in my bunk in jail, in St. Lucie County Jail, and just crying out to the Lord. And I know at that moment that the Lord wrapped his arms around me and comforted me. And I knew that I had found what I was always looking for, because there was no other way that I was going to find solace in that situation. So following that, I was in the actual spiritual dorm, they call it, in St. Lucie County Jail, where I was fed the word on a regular basis. And some women from Good Samaritan Ministries used to come in and bring the word. And I spoke to them personally and told them my experience and what was going on in my life. And, you know, the Lord closes doors that need to be closed, but he opens the ones that need to be opened. And he closed every door possible that I had no way of going back out to be enabled by anybody, including my mother and my daughter, who loved me. They didn't do it to hurt me, but they enabled me. So he closed the doors, and he clearly told me, Good Samaritan Ministries.
Excellent.
It was clear. And upon leaving jail, which I didn't get the 6.5 years, praise God, I turned my life over to the Lord, and I decided I was going to be his servant. And I came to the ministry, and within a short period of time, they put me in the medical office. And I became the healthcare advocate for all the residents. And as we grew, when I came in, I think there was about 120 people. Now we're at 190. A lot of them come in broken. They have mental health issues, or they've been told they have mental health issues. Yeah. Of course, we know the Lord can
heal
anything,
all things.
Heal all things, and yeah. I believe in that. But in the meantime, I have to, I just make sure that everybody gets what they need so they can focus on the Lord. I make sure they get to their appointments. I make sure that they get their medications. I have an associate, Stacy, in the office, who's tremendous. I mean, she's a blessing beyond blessings. And together, we make it work, and we try to get everybody everything they need so they continue their walk with the Lord and don't get pulled out by the things of the world. Also, when I became part of the ministry, my son was living in Orlando with my sister, and he was angry at me, with good reason. He was angry with me. And I prayed and prayed, and the Lord decided a year ago to bring Jonathan to Port St. Lucie. He now lives with my mother, and he also volunteers at the ministry. He's part of the thrift store, so he comes in and he volunteers. He comes to church with me. He's now given his life over to the Lord. He's a believer.
Praise God.
So that was an answered prayer. I have, I have my family. I'm still working on them, trying to bring them to the Lord, but that's going to take a minute.
One day at a time, right?
Yeah, but in the meantime, I just open my eyes every day and say, Lord, just let me do your will. And he does. He blesses me beyond.
So you came to receive ministry. Now you're a
Minister.
Yeah. That is awesome. Glenn, we just have a few moments left. Kind of bring us together. How can people get a hold of the ministry, and how can they be a part of this great program? I suppose we're going to hear a lot more great stories. And it's right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida. It's local. So tell us how people can get involved.
Yes. Well, first of all, there's a number you can call, and you can get involved in the ministries that we have, basically working ministries. In fact, over 50% of the income that runs this program is from the men working themselves.
That's awesome.
They're earning their way through. You know, this is I saw a T-shirt with a signal on it, and the signal was, handouts don't create standouts.
There you go.
And really, awesome. What we have here at Good Samaritan is just a whole group of standouts.
It's a family, family.
It's a big family. So the if you're into there's the father-son flooring. There's Maids from Heaven. We do Maids. Kingdom Moving and Storage, Mighty Men Automotive, and also the thrift store. So if you want to support the ministry, support these working men that are working their way through drug addiction and alcoholism, etc.
Is there a phone number?
Yes. The number is 772-335-7677.
772-335-7677. Glenn, tell us a little bit about your program and what people can expect, and why you're looking to do this.
Oh, yes. Caleb's Canoe, there's this hidden meaning behind it, because I'm going to be periodically promoting Good Samaritan Ministry while I'm on it. But Caleb's Canoe came to me because I was the teacher naturalist for Baltimore County Public Schools. And in doing such, I ran canoe trips. And I also became a canoeing instructor trainer, and there was only one in the state of Maryland, and you're looking at them. So because of all my experience with canoeing, you see that there's illustrations, there's ways that you can tie in those concepts.
Excellent.
You know, water, the word of God, canoeing with a paddle, directing your way through the water. So I'm going to be focusing on that, and the main focus, however, is going to use that as a segue into really my purpose, which is to bring prophecy in light of what's happening today. So this ministry could last forever, because I'm going to be constantly drawing from news articles, and I subscribe to a Christian group that provides they look at newspapers from around the world, and they just screen out that which is applies to Christians. So I'll be applying that as we go.
Fantastic.
And I'm excited about it.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Well, Glenn and Karen, so great to have you.
Thank you very much.
The doors are open here. I know you're coming in, and we're going to be working on getting your programs up on air right away. But thank you so much for who you are in the kingdom, what you do in the kingdom, and for letting us be a little bit of an being in a place to get the voice out, get the message out. And so, again, to our family that's listening today, we want to say thank you for joining us on Wednesday Live. And from all of us over here at WCNO, we would just say keep your dial set on 89.9. For those of you who are calling in for the David Phelps concert, all of our giveaway tickets are given away. And so if you call